I Showcase Music. I'm Scott Messina, and I'm here with a very special guest, my longtime buddy, and one of the best bass players in all creation, my man, Rohan Reed.
What's up, Scott?
My dude. It's my guy. I'm so glad to get you here.
Man, always a pleasure, man. It's been way too long.
Bro, so we were sitting out the other day at a place called Jazz Plus here in Orlando, and I'm like, man, that bass player, man. I'm like, there's not too many people that have riffs like that. I'm like, so I walked in there. I hadn't seen you for a minute.
Yeah.
It was you. It was you up there doing your thing. Yeah, they sounded good.
Yeah, thank you.
It was nice, man. Thank you. Jazz is kind of lost, in a sense.
Yeah. You know, it's making a slight comeback. Only the smooth jazz part, though, not the, you know, the part that I really like to do, the fusion and the, but smooth jazz part is making a comeback a little bit, especially in Orlando. We got some clubs popping up.
Where else are you finding it?
Well, Jazz Tastings has been doing a great job over the years, you know, and that's where I play with my band a lot. So they've been the one that's been consistently pushing the local acts and local jazz acts, which is very good.
That fusion's insane. I mean, I think it's some of the most complicated progressions, complicated chords, complicated soloing, and it's, you know, everybody wants to hear that 1-4-5 or that, you know, just that 4-4.
Yeah.
And you guys are getting into some time signatures that are just, what's the hardest time signature you've ever played that you can think of?
13 goes switch from 7 to 6.
The hell you just said? No, I'm joking.
Theory
13 switch to 7 to 6.
Yeah, from 7, from going from 7 to 6. Yeah, it's fun.
Dang, man.
It's fun, but it's not for the weak of heart.
How would you ever do that? Like, seriously, how would you ever do that with a metronome?
You can set a metronome to that. I think especially with the computer age, yeah, you can.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. With Pro Tools, you can do all that tricks. You can go from 7 to 6, 7 to 6. Yeah, you can do it though. You have all type of time signature now. You can.
But now you with the way you play, you can actually take your bass and turn it into a violin, turn it into a flute. You can play every instrument just like I can as a keyboardist. It's MIDI's just crazy.
Yeah. Your MIDI, yeah. I actually have a MIDI bass.
Do you?
Yeah, I have a MIDI bass. I've not used it on a show yet, but yeah. Bill Reed actually made that bass for me from Lyrical Lumber. He died a few years ago of cancer. He made that bass for me. I love it. But I have not used it on a show yet.
Dude, we have to give everybody preface of. So you moved here, you're from Kingston, Jamaica.
Yes.
And then I started reading up, man. I read your bio and I've known you for 20-25 years.
Yeah.
You used to be in my bands back in the day when I first moved here, and I'm like, you were a prodigy in Jamaica, man. I didn't realize how big in the Caribbean your name was, your talent was. Yeah. I didn't know you were I always knew you were good. You were always my buddy. But now that I'm starting to dive into it, I'm like, damn, man.
Yeah.
So tell everybody, tell the viewers a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, actually, my uncle moving with us when I was a little kid, I was maybe 4. So my dad started teaching him the bass when I was 5. And I tell my dad, I want to play. And my uncle started playing one of the most popular gospel bands in Jamaica. And my dad said, okay, when you reach 6, I'll teach you. On my 6th birthday, my dad taught me the G scale, the Do, Re, Mi, Fa, So. That's what he said. He didn't call it the major scale. He said, I'm going to teach you Do, Re, Mi, Fa, So, La, Ti, Do. Mm-hmm. And that's what he told me.
There you go.
And he taught me that 3 chords, G, C, and D. And that was it. That's what he thought it was. 2 weeks after that, he came over here and playing bass lines off the radio, every bass line off the radio. He's like, no, you're not playing those songs. You're coming to church to play with me. And I started playing at church at 6.
That's where I started.
And then I started hanging out with my uncle and my uncle musician friends. And then I became actually popular at 8. I started getting popular in Jamaica because I used to do a street meeting. The pastor, Bill, decided that he wants some attraction to build his church. So he put me on the streets to play as an 8-year-old with a bass. and it drew a lot of crowd. And he actually built his church population out of using me as a prop.
Wow. As a bass player. Is that church still around?
Yeah, yeah. It's still around doing well.
You got a lot of family still down
there? His sons are pastors of the church, and we grew up together.
Wow.
We grew up together. I actually stepped in his band. And he and my dad work at the same place, so we are good friends. And he died, and my dad died. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that church is still around.
Losing a parent has to be the
worst. Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
God bless our fathers.
Yeah, yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Then we become the old cats now. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, man. But you know,
and memories. You smile when you talk about him. You smile when you talk about how you started when you were 6 years old and playing for the church. And
yeah.
Just great, great childhood memories. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So I know you progressed, obviously came to America.
Yeah.
You know, and I started seeing, I know one of your big, I'm going to jump ahead, way ahead. Your biggest tour I know recently was Yandel. Wiseman Yandel.
Yeah, Winston and Yandel, Winston, right. Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? Wisden?
Winston.
But you knew him. You knew Yandel back before.
So when Yandel and Winston separated, I think it was 2013.
I think it was.
Yeah. A friend of mine, Tito, who is still Yandel's engineer, studio engineer, called me to play bass for them. And I was on the road with the original Wailers, and I did accept. And I started playing with them, and I eventually became Yandel musical director. And I played with them for 9 years. When I went back with Winston, I was his bass player. So I did Winston and Yandel for like the last 3 years. And then they were split back up. I decided, I've been touring since I'm 11.
Hopefully you saved some money, because that's a good gig.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the music life is different.
Oh, I know.
It's different, you know, but
I know all too well.
I have the luxury of playing with other people. Like I still play with Wyclef Jean when he's not out with Fuji. So, and I still do my thing with Original Wailers from time to time if they need me. But I'm having a blast now, and I'm producing, get to play my music with my band as much as I can.
Love that.
And that's really my passion right now, to play what I love and to play, you know, not just to go on the road and play to earn anymore. Just do stuff that I'm passionate about. And that's where I'm at, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah, man.
You know?
You earned that.
Yeah.
You earned that. You've been playing since you were 6 years old in church. Church wanted you to play this and that.
Yeah.
Then you come in, you go on tour, tour your whole life.
Yeah, but...
And then you were at the theme parks doing your thing there and all these other bands and...
But I tell you this, that was my school, because at 10 I joined this group. My uncle got too busy, so I took his place in a group called the Grace Drillers. And in the Grace Drillers, the lead guitar player might be the most talented guitarist I've ever seen. Just pure talent.
That coming from you.
Yes. And I tell him I want to play bass like how he plays guitar. And nobody knew that I was learning the stuff that he was playing. And so he couldn't make a show. And there's one country and western song that we play that they wouldn't think an 11-year-old kid could play it. And I played it on that show. And the leader was like, actually, he ended up putting me on guitar for 5 years.
Wow.
So, and he was a jazz guitar player. So that was my school.
Being surrounded around.
Yes.
Uber talented.
Yes. And then other people took me under their wings. Like Marjorie Wiley, she took me under her wings and said, okay, I'm going to teach you jazz standards. I'm going to, you know, so that church took me to another level outside of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Because within Jamaica is so small that if you're around greatness, they keep pushing you. They're not selfish people. But it's easy to get around greatness because we're so small. You see what I mean? The great guys are touchable. Not like US, the great guy might be in Texas.
Yeah. Bob Marley was relatable to everyone.
Right. Exactly.
What is he? He's 19%. His royalties are... And what he donated before he passed, he's still 19% of the Jamaican
Yes.
Jamaican economy.
And still outselling every other reggae artist.
His sons, oh man, his grandson.
Skip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that song? I don't want to sabotage the title of the song. But
let me love you. Da, 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 da. Slow down. That's him, or that's the other one? Yeah, I think that's him.
I'm thinking of Lauryn Hill's song.
That's Lauryn Hill's song. Yeah,
Lauryn Hill's song.
Slow down. Da, 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 da. I think he sang that one.
Oh my goodness, man, he's got it.
Yeah,
he's got it. And then one of the other kids, man. I mean, you got Ziggy still doing his thing.
Yeah, Junagong. Junagong. Yeah, Junagong is still doing his thing. Steven is still doing his thing.
You make me laugh, man. I remember how mad, and I know you love the instrument, the guitar, so let me preface it. But you used to get so mad when I begged you to play guitar because we had no guitar. But guitar player would always call in or whatever.
But funny enough.
You killed it. You killed it.
No, the thing is, I used to hate playing guitar.
This was 2001.
I used to hate playing guitar.
I know, you told me, that's what I'm laughing about.
Yeah, but the old I got, and I think what happened, I started playing with some real good bass players, so I felt comfortable playing guitar. I used to hate playing guitar a lot of times, because a lot of times I play guitar, the bass players sometimes weren't, but you know.
So you're sitting there playing guitar, which you're phenomenal.
Right, right.
And then you're hearing the bass player and you're being overcritical. That's like me. That's how I would be with the keyboard player.
You know, first that's the instrument. The
bass player's not in the pocket.
Yeah, first instrument, that's the instrument I'm passionate about.
That's the one you're best at.
Right. I'm passionate about it.
Right.
So that's the instrument I want to play. So first, I have a friend who is the same like me. LeVon, he's the same like me. He's a killer guitar player. But he's so passionate about the bass. And I think that was me. But the older I got is the more I got comfortable and kind of loved playing the guitar.
My
I
don't first mind instrument guitar was upright bass, actually.
Yeah?
Third grade, man. My dad had to build me a box this big because my short ass wasn't tall enough. I had one of the little three quarters.
Yeah.
And I played, that was my first. I couldn't play it now.
Yeah.
I couldn't play it now.
That's a different instrument, too. I love it, though.
I've heard you play upright.
Yeah, yeah. I've played upright.
That's a rarity. Yeah. If you ever see or can find any video of Rohan playing upright bass, send it to me.
Yeah, I think the only person I actually played I did a gig with Sonny Paxton on upright. Maybe I've done baby bass with Joseph
Giovanni. The jazz club back in the day.
Jazz club back in the day. Joseph Giovanni, I played the baby upright with him a couple times.
Those electrical uprights are pretty
well. Yeah,
it's just a different. It is completely. You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's a completely different instrument.
No, the upright is a different instrument.
one of my favorite upright players, and I know you know him, Bobby Brennan.
Bobby Brennan. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a shout out, Bobby.
Killer.
Talking about, oh my gosh, yeah, man. Killer. He's been on the road with Cirque.
Him and Eddie Wong.
He's been on the road with Cirque. Yeah. I'm like, dude, are you ever just going to take a breath? And he's like, he knows what he does. And he's just upright every night. Upright. Yeah, one of the best I've ever.
No, he's beast.
You're the best electric bass player I've ever used or known.
Yeah.
Guitar players, man, you would think, like, especially because I showcase music out of Nashville, and so I got a lot of musicians up there that are really just loving what we got going on, and man, everybody plays guitar, and they're good.
Yeah.
They're really good up there. Them boys play up there, man.
And tone, everything. Ooh. Tone, execution, everything about their beast.
Oh, they're just, I was telling somebody else, they'll come off tour, and they'll just play, you know, Hank Williams Jr. bar for tips just to keep the chops up. And you're just sitting there like, it's surreal.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable how I wish Orlando had more of that culture that Nashville has. And I think that's why I'm gravitating so much to Nashville, because the music scene up there is just, it's exciting.
Yeah, but that's their culture. We have serious talent now. Not as much guitar players as like Nashville, but we have some serious talented guys here. But the culture is different. But the culture is not the same. Yeah, it's not the same. Like Nashville and Memphis. Like Memphis, I'm walking on the streets of Memphis. I've seen this drunken guy with an old beat up amp, but everything sound amazing. Like, it's just the culture.
But like here, as a working musician, I think with the conventions and with the theme parks, you can make more money. You can make it more stable. But in Nashville, obviously you make more money if you're a songwriter or have a hit song or whatever. You don't necessarily make money the same way up there. Or you can't make anywhere near as much, I don't think, the same way gigging like you can down here, because there's so many gigs for live musicians and for DJs, for every instrument. I mean, and the caliber of instruments, the caliber of instrumentalists in Orlando, I'll put up against anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll put them against LA and New York. I mean, because they're vetted. Between Disney and Universal and SeaWorld, and just they're vetted. And you got the Rohan Reed, you got the Christoph Sabrakowskis.
Oh, Christoph, man, he's crazy.
Come on, man. I won't even play. You heard me playing earlier. I won't even play in front of him. And he loves how I play, and I'm like, nope. I'm like, I'm not stupid, man. I'm like, you know, but I think, and you brought this from Jamaica. Sometimes, you know, he's from Poland.
Yeah.
And some musicians are so technically advanced, and he's so good. He's gotten so much better with getting in the pocket and that American sugar.
You know what I'm saying?
Which or actually call it Jamaican sugar, man, because y'all are grooving down there, like, but there's a vibe.
Yeah, there's a vibe, yeah.
There's a vibe to America, whether it's country music, whether it's reggae, whether it's your fusion jazz. Yeah. That fusion jazz, man, that's, which, when we come back, we're going to talk about these albums right here.
Right.
We're going to talk about both of them. You got something brand new? This is the brand new one.
Right.
We're going to talk Morning about Kisses, it. Yeah. I know you're excited about it. Yeah. So we'll be right back, all right?
All right.
My awesome. Man, great awesome. Job. Found that time signature from the last segment.
With these you can
take everybody to school Rohan Reed style.
No, with these you can pull up any time signature and practice with it. So where was it?
So you were saying 7/6?
Well this is just 13. So you can, what I'm saying with 13 you can divide it into 7 and 6. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And so forth. Right?
So how would a baseline sound on top of that?
Okay. Doom, 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 doom. You know, it's so that you divide that 7 and 6. Or some people do 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, and then 4. So it's just about subdivisions. And drummers are amazing at it. Drummers are so amazing at
you know, you got your bass in your car.
Yeah, it's in my car somewhere.
Come on, man. Rohan to get this bass out of his car, man. I was only going to ask you to solo, but now we have to talk about this brand new album.
Yeah.
I just heard the title track, which is Morning Kisses right here. Boom. As you can see behind me, Morning Kisses. How did you get that title, man?
So, while I was creating my album, there are a few people that I go to on almost every album for songs to write to. And normally, I'll get a track and write. I don't like nobody writing melodies for me. I write my own melody. So I went to David Grant and Derek Harving, and they sent me a track, and he sent a melody, And normally they know that I don't like to write to nobody metal. I just like to, but the minute they said was banging, it was banging. So all I basically had to write is the bridge and another section on it. And listen, that track, this track gave me a little early morning, waking up, hugging your girl in the sunset on the balcony, that type of vibe, you know? So I just named the song Morning Kisses.
So you got to explain to the viewers and listeners that when you say melody, man, you're playing your bass.
Is playing the melody.
Like, is playing the melody. Yeah. You are the lead singer.
Yes,
I'm and the singer. And you ain't even singing.
Yeah.
Or are you singing on this? Singing vocally? Or
No, this
like
song.
Your bass is just the voice. Yeah, the bass it's is, like a sax player.
The bass is singing, yeah.
It's like Kenny G or somebody playing. Well, yeah, nothing like Kenny G. I didn't mean it. No, I like Kenny
G. No, like, listen.
But what I'm saying is,
I don't bash Kenny, bro.
My man did what he did.
Yeah, never.
He did what he did, and I think he did so much for instrumentalists and solo artists such as yourself.
Yeah.
So when the viewers go and check this out, man, you would never think how cool. I mean, I just heard one track, man. I can't. Melodic Groove, Gracious, Morning Kisses, track 3. That's what the name of the album is.
Melodic Groove is that's one of my favorite tracks on it. One of my favorite tracks on it. It's very...
Hold on, I'm going to go down all of them. Yeah. Number 4 is Closer, Florida Sunrise.
And Closer, I had some guys from Nashville doing live strings on that.
Did you record it up there?
Yeah, the strings was recording.
Man, their studios, oh my goodness. They can record, man. They're just set up. They're just perfectly set up for everything. So Nashville, okay, cool. So Nashville, check out track 4, Closer. Florida Sunrise.
Yeah, yes. Musty. That's your boy Jesse playing drums on Florida Sunrise.
Jesse Carvalho. See, I'm going we should have like alcohol, and every time we get somebody a shout out, we just do a shot, man. Jesse Carvalho, man, that's Mark Anthony's guy, man. Yeah, one of the best percussionists. Drummers I've ever had the honor to work with. You put me on the phone with him when I saw you the other day, and man, I miss that dude. He's just such a nice guy.
Very, very.
I love seeing good things to happen to good people. Jesse Carvalho. Can I spell his last name?
Carvalho.
It's Carvalho.
Yeah, Carballo. Carvalho.
Man,
Carvalho. You know Spanish.
Yeah. I don't speak Spanish, but I should probably know that, right?
Yeah.
Muse.
Yeah, so Muse is now a fusion, fretless. I play that song using a fretless.
That's really a different vibe because, obviously, you no pun intended, but you don't get any fret noise.
Right,
it's your string noise. It's your string slide, your string noise.
Like,
But, I mean, that can be cleaned up so easily in post. Got to get through it.
Yeah, that's a vocal song. So that's featuring Rod Wilson on vocals. That's one of my longtime friends too. Like he does writing on almost every project I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
Booster.
Yeah. So Booster is definitely a smooth jazz song. Was a nice little filler.
And Whitehall Jam.
Oh, that's fusion, but that's. Dancehall fused with smooth jazz. So that's a dancehall rhythm and killer horns section done by Kyle Schroeder and a killer from Tampa. Like, beast. He's beast.
Dude, I can't wait to hear this album.
And me doing some bass work and from piccolo to slap bass, I think, on that one.
So what would you... How, in a paragraph or so, how would you... perfectly describe what this album is collectively?
Well, this album is, I'd say, is very melodic. Rhythmic, but very melodic and sophisticated melodies.
I'd expect nothing less.
That's
which who you are.
Which is an issue for smooth jazz radio. They like it on this simpler side, but
You know what it's not an issue for?
Yeah.
I showcase music.
No.
And you know what it's not an issue for? Yeah. Streaming.
Right.
Spotify.
Right.
Because it's on Apple Music. It's on Spotify. It's on Amazon. Yeah. You got it everywhere now, right?
It's everywhere.
So it's I think that people who don't think outside of the box and don't think of, you know, broaden their horizons, right. that's their loss.
And the thing is, I always want to show what I'm about. And it's me. You know, I come from so many different places because of my training. Mm-hmm. Moving to the U.S., I was playing in an African band. I was playing in an American band. I was playing. So I learned so much over the years. So my knowledge is wide, rhythmically and melodically. So I always, it's not something I'm forced to show. It's part of me now.
It's who you are.
Yeah.
I've said that.
Yeah. So
it's who you are. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the most, just like, you know, you're one of the most complex players, but you do it effortlessly. Think about that. I mean, because there's a lot of people that'll sound good on a CD.
Yeah.
But you get them as a studio musician, they're not as precise. They're great on stage, sound great, but when you get them in the studio, you're just as good on both.
Yeah. Well,
that's a rarity.
Thank you. And I think because where I'm from, I'm a bass player first. And because you have bass players that are lead bass players only. Mm-hmm. Because of my upbringing first, jazz wasn't my first thing. My first thing was gospel and reggae. Mm-hmm. So that taught me the discipline to, when you go in the studio, it's a different type of concept you have from when you're out there playing the jazz fusion. When you see me with the original Wailers, you're going to see a different person. When you see me with Winston and Yandel, you're going to see a different person. But when you see me playing fusion, you might be surprised because I can actually go.
You adapt to who's paying you. To whose stage you're on, and you respect that. However, when it comes to your stuff, man, that's amen.
But the funny thing is,
that's what's up.
The less notes you play, the more money you make.
Say it again?
The less notes you play, the more money you make.
Oh, my God.
Think about it.
No, I got the
Who
best
pays story. More than country western?
I got
Who the, pays better than country western? No. Nobody. But that check look good.
I got the best story. I hope I didn't tell this on another episode. I might have. Bro, so we'll just call him Ben. You know, I was brought up. One of my first artists was that I worked with was Genuine.
Yeah.
But Ben used to be James Brown, one of James Brown's guitarists and music directors. It was between him and another guy to get that job. And the one dude went in there. This is going to come full circle to what you were just saying.
Yeah.
The one dude goes in there and just shreds, bro. Right? And this Ben goes in there and just in the pocket. Who do you think got the job?
Definitely the guy in the pocket.
In the pocket.
Yeah.
A team player.
Yeah, a team player.
Now, I don't know if James paid him, but I know he was with him for a while and for a long time. And I always learned that lesson from him telling me that story, that less is more. They do it even – I'm not talking about when you're soloing.
Right.
I'm not talking about – you know what? And I'm going to go squirrel on you. I'm talking about in general less is more.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to the 32-measure solos, man. The old – think about – let's go squirrel and think rock right now.
Yeah.
The old – how Led Zeppelin used to just have those 32-minute rock solos just –
Yeah,
Bob used to throw some into it. You know, if you listen to some of his obscure stuff, not the stuff on the Legends, all into the best of that went commercial, man, there was always this room for the instrumentation to breathe.
Right.
I would love for musicians to get back to that, and for recordings to get back to that.
Yeah.
And I think your album, we haven't even talked about your album before this one, because this was the newest hot off the press one, right? But I think, you know, you could be leading the path for that, bro.
Yeah, well, that's definitely where it should, you know, Derek, we speak about this all the time. Like, we need to get back in the days, to the days when we just go in the studio and we just create on spot. Like, four or five guys, that's how Bob Marley did it.
No, that's how it was
in
the 70s.
Yeah,
even at the piano I was telling you about, in that old studio.
Yeah.
And down in Hit Factory in Miami and what's the other big one with the Bee Gees and the Eagles and all of them, Criterion.
Yeah.
So what they would do, and I'm talking rock again, I don't know a lot about rock, but I just know these stories.
Yeah.
You would have the Scorpions, you would have Rat, you would have Quiet Riot, you right? And they'd all be in their own studios.
Right.
And they're doing exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. They're just on the fly.
Yeah.
Doing their thing. Creating. But then they all come to eat lunch together.
Yeah.
And then everybody is sharing ideas of what they're working on with each other.
Wow.
Then they go back and boom. Yeah. There was no, give me my cut. Give me, well, I got right, blah, 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 blah. And see, that's the beauty. Nashville has that camaraderie where, yeah, they have songwriting pools and everybody gets their percentage of whatever they wrote and gave brought to the table. And they, you know, they haven't figured out, I think for the most part that I've collected, but you don't have that camaraderie, yeah. You know, especially with home studios.
Right, you know,
when I'm in my home studio, I'll always have a home studio because I like rolling, work until 4 or 5 in the morning, rolling into bed, waking up, you know, right. The convenience of it.
Right.
But I get the big studio when I need the big studio. The camaraderie of what you're talking about would be amazing if you could get that back.
Yep.
But man, are a lot of young people even learning how to play instruments?
Yeah.
I know the Grammy's working on trying to get a lot of young people to play instruments and everything, but I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's here. I don't see in Orlando, I can tell you what's happening in Orlando. The young people are digging in, like, and coming and really good too, getting really good.
Maybe that was a COVID thing. Maybe that was a post-COVID.
It was slightly post-COVID, but I think between Orlando and Tampa, there's so much wealth of talent and interest. But that wasn't always the case. I think it's getting back there. I know in Jamaica, it's like that. It's like that. Jamaica is
too much. Playing down there.
Yeah, and it's weird because they don't have enough outlet for them.
Really?
Yeah, they don't have enough outlet for them. But I see that happening here now. But the camaraderie not there.
What about Puerto Rico?
I don't see a lot of young guys in Puerto Rico. My experience when I went to Puerto Rico is the older guys, a few young ones, but not like what I see happening in Orlando. And
look at Atlanta. Yeah. Man. Look at ATL. Yes. Just exploded.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, from Orlando right to ATL, right to Nashville and Memphis.
Atlanta is.
I mean, that's your path now. It used to be.
Yeah.
And you know, I haven't really heard. I haven't heard anybody come out of New York City since Lady Gaga. I don't know what's going on with New York City.
Yeah.
LA, they've had their own battles and everything, but wonderful musicians out there. You got Berkeley out there.
And a lot of people move to LA too because that's a place to be if you want to be on tours and you want to be, you know.
It's a great lifestyle until it's not.
Yes.
Fair enough?
Yes, perfect. Perfect way to put it.
I'm gonna repeat that.
But you know where? You know where is putting out musicians like ridiculously?
Where?
Brazil.
Oh my god. Oh my goodness.
It's crazy.
Oh my goodness. Brazil, I would think Colombia, Argentina, all those.
Yeah. But what I think helped is what we didn't have. We didn't have social media the way these guys have it.
Right.
They can go on YouTube, they can go anywhere and just learn, like.
They can learn paths.
Yes.
And then they have the graphics to go with the scales. Right. To go with the,
they can slow down things.
Their theory.
They can learn everything from theory to practical right sitting in the living room.
So how do you think, this is a great question, and I think you're one of the first ones I've asked. Because I have a theory. Yeah. I have a theory. But how do you think AI is going to play? And what kind of adaptation do you think we as musicians are going to have to take with AI?
I hope it doesn't make us lazy.
Man, there is.
I hope AI doesn't make us lazy.
It already. I mean, but then define AI. Like I told the story previously when I was up for Grammy consideration.
Yeah.
I had to sign an affidavit saying I didn't use AI, but then, you know, define AI.
Right.
Auto-tune is a form of AI.
That's a form, yeah.
I mean, auto-tune.
Yeah.
It's just coming up that little, you need to bend it just a little bit to get to that perfect note.
Yes, but AI is so crazy now. I can take your voice.
Yep, I tried it.
And get all the riffs that Beyonce does. It's just like
I tried that with my voice. It was horrible. It was horrible, bro. But no. This I don't know what it's called, man. I don't even want to give them a shout out, but I think it's like Sonu, S-O-N-U or something like that.
Yeah.
You literally type in, all right, I want a woman who sounds like Aretha Franklin, but I want the drums and the rhythm section to sound like something Ray Charles would perform in 1968. And I want it banging in 4-4, then breaking into 2-4, then back to 4-4, refrain, take it out, with a gospel background.
Wow.
Within 30 to 45 seconds, this entire masterpiece is completely produced.
That's crazy.
That is bothersome. It bothered me. I'm like, I spent my whole life learning what I do. And so it's a step above being lazy. But they have put laws into effect to where it's very difficult, if not possible. You can't really copyright AI.
Okay.
I mean, that's how it is right now.
Right now.
But it's getting so good. It's not as good, but it's getting so good now you're never going to. How would you ever know the difference? Okay. Then you have to sign an affidavit. If you're lying, you're lying, right?
Right.
But, man, when I heard that, and then I want a country song and whatever, 3-4 time, making a waltz, Johnny Cash style, and they got a vocalist that sounds just like Johnny Cash that comes in. And then I got some friends, I'm not going to mention their names, they've taken Justin Bieber, Beyonce, and Taylor Swift and made them, those three voices, they've taken them and made them their background vocals. Blended together, you can never tell.
Wow, that's crazy.
You can never tell that those three superstars are part of that background vocal, right? And it's completely legal. You're not doing anything. You pay for the service, and it's completely legal. I hope the artists are getting paid. I mean, that's very important to me.
Right.
But, man, it's getting crazy. I just don't know. I don't know how it's going to. You're going to have to adapt. It's just like you had to adapt from this to MP3s to blah, 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 to Napster changed the whole world.
Right.
And we're almost at about that time again. But you know what? Here's where we win. AI can never perform it.
Right.
AI can never perform it.
Yep.
AI, they'll have that sugar, but it'll be an augmented, it'll be an electronic fake type of feel, and they can't perform it.
Right. Man, it's crazy.
Did I just depress you?
No.
I get it.
It's crazy.
It's frustrating,
but
technology is just getting too. I'm not even excited about that portion of it.
Right.
Because
we study our whole life. A guy can just talk to his phone and get it.
I mean, yeah. Think about how many bases are sampled. Now, I could never. I mean, dude, it would take me. I just could never play keyboard bass.
Right.
The way you play a bass.
Right.
So what I'll do, and you've worked on my projects, you know.
Yeah.
I'll go in there and demo. Hey, man, this is what I, and then I'll let you do your thing.
Right.
You hire a bartender, you let them bartend.
Yeah.
Right? But then I can take your bass sound when you give me those tracks, and I can augment the sound of that if I want to make it whatever I want to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As far as EQing, sounding, and blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
But violins, I mean, orchestras, horn sections, they're coming close on the samples.
Yeah,
we felt that way when the samples started.
Yeah, the samples coming close, but still certain riffs, certain things with a horn, it's you'd have to sample the whole phrase to get it, you know, it's still not quite there.
Sampling.
Yeah.
The keyboard behind you. We were just talking about the Triton Pro X.
Yeah.
So what is that? 20-year-old that's at least 25-year-old keyboard now.
Yeah.
20-year-old keyboard.
Yeah.
So those samples on that are like 530 kilobytes.
Wow.
My samples now with Native Instruments 14, shout out to Native Instruments. What you think?
Twice or three times now?
I'll get a 5 gig. 5 gig.
5 gig?
3 gig.
Wow.
It'll take a second for it to load up. Most of them are around 1 or 2.
Right.
But some of these samples with these orchestras, man, they're just so involved.
Right.
And then you can go into them and like the woodwind instruments, you can, how much breath do you want? How much humanizing do you want? How much?
Now
is that AI?
So one of my songs, right?
Which one?
It was on this, it was a single.
This one?
No, it wasn't, it's not on none of these. But when Derek sent me back the key, the keyboards, you can actually hear
the pedal on the piano.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you can hear a pedal press.
The resonate, like, you have a resonate, like, button on the pedal.
I'm just like, what?
Whether it's a grand piano, yeah, an upright, the gentleman, beautiful, yeah, piano. They got, Alicia Keys has her own sound, yeah, on Native Instruments, man, and, yeah, it's really nice, yeah, smooth.
They use, I mean, that one. You know, yeah.
And, but then they take it to another level, and Chick Corea, I mean, they'll do riffs. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have to play the piano. You press one button.
Yeah.
It works good on some, yeah, of my guitar background, you know, starlight sound effects I want to do. All right, yeah. So how much have you gotten into Atmos, Dolby Atmos?
I use that every now and then at a friend's studio, but I don't use it.
Are there any tracks on this that you would want to do Atmos on? Think about that.
I have to think about it.
Alicia Keys actually, I think, was the first album,
yeah,
to actually do that.
Yeah.
But went to a friend's studio down in Nashville.
I thought you were talking about atmosphere.
I'm talking about Dolby Atmos. Oh, the way you mix.
You mix. Oh no, I never.
I'm talking about like a 12.2, yeah, 10.1. I mean, it's insane.
Well, I
got
to check.
You got stuff coming out of,
yeah, surround.
Oh my, no, dude, it's beyond surround. I mean, yeah, I can do 7.1, 7.2 in my, yeah, studio, but, yeah, I'm talking, now you're talking 16.
Wow.
I'll give her a shout out. My friend Justine Blazer. Well, Eric Schilling,
yeah,
who's my mentor, yeah, that's my dude. He's been taking his gig and just mixing Atmos everywhere. He'll go there to them,
right?
Bring his computer and what he needs, and just. But my friend Justine Blazer in Nashville has an Atmos studio. She got it right, man. I stood there, and I was just like, "You're hearing things," and I'm like, "Okay, so you think about not this, but you think about a compressed MP3,
right?"
Versus this Dolby Atmos, man, where, right, you've got 12 different, 16 different things coming at you. It is really an experience. It's a audible experience. I'm telling you, man. So what I'm saying is, when you get the chance to really get into a studio,
right,
that's properly, I mean, the speakers, from what I've learned, are to the millimeter, have to be positioned to the millimeter,
right,
where they go. But when you get to that experience, you're going to say, oh, yeah.
Because, yeah,
all you've got to do is take one of your stereo tracks, right, and then all of a sudden add to it,
right, with
the Atmos stuff.
Right.
It's not reinventing the wheel. It's just adding to it and making it fatter.
Yeah, right.
But there seems to be a market for it. Yeah. Or else how come it would be as big as it's becoming?
Right.
It's so new, though.
Yeah, it's brand new.
All right. So, two albums. Morning Kisses. Watch Me Now.
Yeah.
What about this one? What's the difference between the two?
The difference between the two is, I would say, Watch Me Now might be a more versatile blend from R&B, reggae, smooth jazz, fusion, where this is more, and funk, where this is more a touch of smooth jazz and between smooth jazz fusion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Can't wait to hear it, man.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time, bro.
Not crazy jazz fusion, just
hey, don't scare, yeah, people, yeah, off and make, yeah, you crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I already heard one of the songs. There's a little crazy jazz fusion in there.
A little
that's
crazy.
Not gonna scare people off, because if the jazz radio stations, which are far and few between,
yeah,
aren't gonna play it, yeah, you know, isn't there a jazz fusion station on XM, Sirius XM?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's where we need to push this.
Yeah,
thing.
So. Like I learned from a big mentor of mine, Najee, because he's a jazzer.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's big in smooth jazz. He's big in smooth jazz. So the thing is, I always have a radio single from each album that I can play in smooth jazz.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate to be, you know, actually I've been getting played on XM. Shout out to XM. They have done me well over the years since 2007, since my first project. I'm fortunate to be on their show still.
Oh, that's awesome.
Over the years.
So you already got the in.
Yeah. It's still a tough job because it's so saturated. It's saturated now. It's
so saturated.
Yeah, it's so saturated. Smooth jazz is so saturated now.
I got some tracks on Muzak. Yeah. Somebody said they heard one of my tracks coming down an escalator in a Sheraton in Germany. One of my solo piano tracks. I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
But nah, man, I wish you the best on these albums for real. And
thank you, man.
Can't wait to hear it. And I'll have you back, man. Love to have you back.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And go and get, well, stream, but download. Download is very important to us.
You got a plug, man? I heard you want to plug something.
I got a plug. So we're doing the Wayman Tisdale Tribute Show, July 27th.
William Tisdale?
Wayman
Tisdale. Wayman Tisdale.
You know Wayman Tisdale?
I know.
He's an ex-basketball player.
Yeah. With the
number one selling smooth jazz bass player.
I did not know that.
Yes.
He died.
I think, leukemia or something like that.
Oh, sorry, man.
So we're doing a tribute show, and it's featuring the amazing LaVon Rushing on bass and myself on bass. We have two bass players, and we're going to have fun that night. So
that's awesome.